Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Remember back in the 90s and early aughts, or whatever we're calling the last decade, you'd have these really loud public battles between rappers, like the big Jay-Z versus Nas thing. Sold a lot of records, so you never really knew if these guys really hated each other, or had just figured out a great way to get free publicity. Well, I want to take you back to an old musical battle. Back in 1970, Neil Young had left the band Buffalo Springfield and started his solo career, and this was one of his first hits. But the guys in the southern rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd, led by singer Ronnie Van Zant, wrote this song in response to Neil Young.
Well, I heard Mr. Young sing about her. Well, I heard old Neil put her down. Well, I hope Neil Young will remember. I said I'm man, don't need him around now.
Alabama was just kind of a smart ass thing for Ronnie to say. We loved Neil Young and his writing and singing and all back then. He was one of our favorite people, especially with Buffalo Springfield. And that's kind of where we got the idea for three guitars then from them, because that was one of our favorite groups.
That's Gary Rossington, the guitarist whose riff became the basis for Sweet Home Alabama. Gary and Ricky Medlock, one of his fellow Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarists, there are three of them after all, will join us in a little while to talk about a band that has seen more than its share of tragedy, controversy, and classic guitar solos. But first, we've got a live set from The Green Space, our ground floor performance venue. Instead of just bringing a band into our regular studio and letting you listen in each afternoon on our website at 2, we've decided to occasionally use The Green Space to do live video webcasts on our website at 2. This one featured singer Jose James and his band. His new album, No Beginning, No End, is about to come out on Blue Note Records, the prestigious jazz label. But Jose's music exists at that fertile place where soul, jazz, and R&B meet. If you're a fan of Marvin Gaye or Bill Withers, you'll like what you're hearing. And you can see it, too. The video is archived on our website, soundcheck.org. Here is a song called Trouble, played live by Jose James and his band.
Come on, talk to me, baby. Say don't say yeah. Troubling me, we got to try and figure out some kind of way to go that we know. Hey, troubling meet me every time I step around where dangers flow, so we can let it go. Say, I need someone like you to understand my heart, baby, and my soul. It's all my baby. Said it's always trouble, 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 trouble. And all my life lately, call on me to struggle, 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 struggle. Since we've been apart, baby, I can't figure out which way to go in my life. Yeah. Oh, since you left my heart and by my side, you'll never believe me, but through wrong and through right. Oh, say, I need someone like you to to understand my heart and my soul. It's all someone like you to understand my heart, baby, and my soul. It's all my mind, baby. Always trouble, 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 trouble. And all my mind, baby, fall on me to struggle, 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 struggle. Come on, talk to me, baby. Come on, talk to me, baby. Come on, talk to me, baby. 3 o'clock in the morning, and someone's on the phone. She talking about it, she talking about it, she talking about it. They say that she can make it right. Say that with a love and happiness. They say that she can make it right. Come on, talk to me, baby. Come on, talk to me, babe. Come on, talk to me, babe. Come on, talk to me, babe.
Live on Soundcheck from WNYC's Green Space, that is Jose James and his band with a song called Trouble. Jose James, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So let me introduce the rest of the band. Chris Bowers, playing our Fazioli piano here in the green space. Behind us, Solomon Dorsey on the bass, Nate Smith on drums, and the horn section, Takuya Kuroda on trumpet, Corey King playing the trombone. The song Trouble, who or what is that about?
Ooh, that's the million-dollar question. That's the million-dollar. Nobody's actually asked that yet. It's about... I like to write on different levels. Uh-huh. So obviously it's about relationships and, you know, growing up, you know, you meet some wrong people, you fall in love and you get into trouble. But I think it's also just about, you know, society and trying to overcome, you know, that's been kind of like of my entire life. You know, I'm a Carter baby. So going from that point.
You mean President Carter?
President Carter, yeah. Okay. I'm not actually his baby. But. But, you know, Carter, Reagan, Bush, mm-hmm. You know, going through the whole thing, there's been a lot of upheaval, and my mom is very political, so, you know, I've been to many rallies, and I think, yeah, we're trying to figure out as a society how to overcome trouble, mm-hmm. You know.
And on yet another level, you know, some of the great singers that I know you idolize were kind of troubled people.
Absolutely.
You know, Marvin Gaye, I mean, there's a whole list of...
Up till today, you know, all the people I idolized growing up, you know, Lauryn Hill, D'Angelo.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, now Amy Winehouse and the people who are just so insanely talented, and then you just wonder what happened, so...
Now, so did you grow up listening to those people, Lauryn Hill and later Amy Winehouse? Was that your...
Well, yeah, it was, you know, it was first Prince, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, and... Everybody who kind of came out of them, you
right.
know, Bell Biv DeVoe and all the hip-hop. And
although you're a longtime Brooklyn resident, you're originally from...
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, yeah. So Prince would have loomed large, I imagine.
Huge. I mean, I bought Purple Rain on vinyl. I don't even know how I bought it, because I'm 7 years old. But I had it. Somebody gave it to me, and maybe they didn't hear it or something.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it was a huge... It was a revelation.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get into jazz?
Through hip-hop samples, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, you know, Tribe Called Quest, and pretty much every hip-hop artist or rap artist in the 90s I listened to had jazz mm-hmm. samples in some way. Talib Kweli, Tribe Called Quest, Everybody.
You know, this is something that I actually thought by now we'd be seeing and hearing more of, is people like you who got into jazz because of samples. And it just sort of points out the importance of, like, giving credit, you know, because there are people, I'm sure there were, you know, thousands of kids going, that's a really cool sound. Mm. But if they didn't know who it was or where at least to get started looking for it, especially pre-internet, early 90s.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
So you had to do some, I mean, this wasn't like, it didn't fall into your lap. You actually had to go and do the research and find this stuff yourself.
And that, for me, it was fun. Like you said, pre-internet, you know, everything sort of meant more. You know, it was not disposable in the way it is now. So it was like, when I finally figured out who Roy Ayers was and tracked down his CD, it was like, Holy Grail or something. You know? Uh-huh.
So who were the, you know, when you began getting into jazz, who were the, especially the vocalists that called to you?
Well, Billie Holiday taught me everything I know. Ella Fitzgerald. You know, at first you know all the big names, Frank Sinatra. And then you kind of get into the Betty Carters and, you know, Joe Williams. Mm. Man, he was a huge influence on me. And I was lucky enough to work with Junior Mance, the pianist who actually worked with Dinah Washington and Joe Williams and Johnny Hartman. So that was pretty amazing.
That's a pretty amazing group of singers to work with.
Absolutely.
Holy cow. Now, you know, those are also singers of a bygone era. Who's out there now that, maybe not even singers, but I mean, Robert Glasper, the pianist, seems to be kind of a kindred spirit to you, someone with this kind of very eclectic musical palette.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many. I mean, everybody on stage with me today, definitely Robert Glasper, Christian Scott, Jamari Williams, there's Ben Williams. There's really a whole generation of us who came through jazz as students. We studied the music and we loved it, but we also grew up listening to hip-hop, soul, R&B, and it informs what we do now, you know.
We're speaking with Jose James, and if you're just listening, you're missing half the fun. You should go to soundcheck.org and watch our video webcast here in the green space with Jose and his band. And if people do watch, are watching, they'll see a bunch of dudes up here. But on the album, on No Beginning, No End, you made it a point to include the other side of things. There are a couple of very important women who contribute to this record.
There are. You know, it's actually six, because the string quartet is all women as well in the end. So Emily King, who is here in New York today, she's, for me, one of the most talented singer-songwriters that I know, definitely of her generation. She wrote two songs in the album, sings on Heaven on the Ground, which she wrote and plays guitar. And Hindi Zara, who is one of my favorite singers in the world.
She's a Moroccan singer, but lives and raised in France.
Yeah, she's really interesting. She blends, just like me, she blends a lot of different styles, so kindred spirits.
Yeah. Now, the song you're going to do for us next, Come to My Door, is this one of Emily King's?
This is one of Emily King's, yeah. And I heard it and thought, wow, this is really fantastic.
And you just had to record it.
That's it.
And it was so nice, you had to record it twice.
Yeah.
So there's a band version, and then there's an acoustic version as a bonus track on the record. The album, No Beginning, No End, comes out on the Blue Note label next Tuesday, January 22nd. And then, Jose, you and the band are at the Highline Ballroom the next day, January 23rd.
It's going to be fantastic. We have live strings, so should be really amazing.
All right. Jose and the band are playing for us here on Soundcheck today in this live video webcast from the Green Space. You want to do Come to My Door? Will this be the band or the acoustic?
This is the band.
All right. Thank you. Once again, Jose James with us live on Soundcheck with his band from the Green Space.
This is Come to My Door. Get the click.
So long we've been distant now, since you set out on your own. You told me I had to find something to believe in. never thought you'd ever leave. But as you walk out the door, I pray that you will soon find all that you needed. While you're out there on your own, if the rain starts falling or you get too cold, if you need a place to go, yeah, baby, oh, I just want you to know it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, yeah. Oh, you can come to my door. I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind at all. So long we've been searching now, but still I can see your face. Memories numb this pain just for a moment. At night I lie sometimes awake in my bed, repeating over and over our conversation. Right now as the moon is shining, I know you're out somewhere and you're doing fine. But if you ever feel alone, baby, oh, I just want you to know it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Oh, you can come to my door. Faithful day, yeah, you know I will be waiting. Oh, you'll smile at me then say you love me all along, and you'll come home. Oh, I just want you to know it's all right. All right, it's all right, yes, yeah. Oh, you can come to my door. I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind at all. Oh, I just want you to know it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Oh, you can come to my door. I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind at all. Oh, I just want you to know it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, yeah, baby. Oh, you can come to my door. I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind at all. Oh, I just want you to know it's all right. You can come to my door, yeah, baby. I don't mind, don't mind at all. I just want you to know, just want you to know, just want you to know. It's all right, yeah. Oh, you can come to my door. I don't mind, don't mind, I don't mind at all.
Jose James and the band live on Soundcheck and a live video webcast from The Green Space with a song called Come to My Door. And Jose picking up the guitar for that one. Solomon Dorsey still playing bass, but contributing some backing vocals. And Still, we have Nate Smith behind our drum kit and Chris Bowers at our piano. And this is our live video webcast from our ground floor street level performance venue, The Green Space. I hope you're watching because I'm about to ask Jose to take off the Yankees cap and show us which haircut
put on the
he's
Mets
been.
Cap.
Which haircut have you been rocking these days? Wow.
It's pretty serious. This took about 2 hours. And it only lasts for like 3 days, so this is day two.
So, it's very short, and like all these different patterns, almost like some of the tattoos that you see guys get.
Actually, that's exactly right, because my barber is from Osaka, Japan, and he has these beautiful wave tattoos.
Uh huh.
And when I went to get a cut, I said, "Yo, I really like your tattoo. Can you do something like that?" So this is like number 41 different styles that we've done.
Wow. Know? So yeah. You must see this guy an awful lot.
Absolutely. Like I said, 3 days and it's done. So.
Uh-huh. So how do you have time for anything else? You're constantly getting your hair cut.
All right. I feel like I'm on David Letterman here.
But I understand you have made time for one other project, which is this right, a novel?
That's right. It's a crime novel. It's a New York crime novel. It's somewhere in between Walter Mosley and Paul Auster in the tone.
Okay.
Slightly surreal, but uprooted in black history as well.
Mm-hmm. And as scary as Paul Auster's New York trilogy.
That book is the only book I've read, including Stephen King, that gave me nightmares. I actually had to take the book and put it outside of my house because it was like, I'd just look at it and like see the guy in the mask, and it was like freaking me out. He lives in Brooklyn too.
He lives in Brooklyn. He lives in your old neighborhood, my current neighborhood. Yeah. You see him around Park Slope a lot. Jose James, it has been a lot of fun having you and the band here with us on Soundcheck.
Thank you so much.
Again, the album's called No Beginning, No End. It's out on the Blue Note label next Tuesday. This is Soundcheck.
Maybe all my life I've been waiting, wonder why. Is it now the time? Make a dream arise. I carry you inside, burning deeply with desire. Burn your blazing fire, tremble through the night. Love. I already know your face is already shown.
That was Jose James. He plays at the Highline Ballroom next Wednesday, January 23rd. Don't forget to check out the video webcast of his entire session with us in the green space at soundcheck.org. Up next, Southern rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd released their first album 4 decades ago. A lot has happened to the group since those early days. Up next, longtime members Gary Rossington and Ricky Medlock sit down for a talk about everything from painkillers to songwriting to gun control. That's next on Soundcheck. Sweet Home Alabama, Free Bird, Tuesday's Gone, all classic rock tunes that come from the early days of this band, Lynyrd Skynyrd. The Jacksonville, Florida-based group first began to popularize its brand of southern-tinged hard rock in the early 70s. They quickly put out 5 albums, 3 of which went double platinum. And then a plane crash killed 3 members of the band and injured the rest, halting the band's momentum. That was back in 1977. It wasn't until a decade later that a reformed Lynyrd Skynyrd began to play again. Since then, they've continued to tour, they've put out albums, and their most recent is called Last of a Dying Breed. Joining me here in the Soundcheck studio today, 2 members of Lynyrd Skynyrd, guitarists Gary Rossington and Ricky Medlock. Gary, welcome to you.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here.
Ricky, good to have you here as well.
Me as well. Thank
you
very much.
Gary, let me start with the title of the last album, which is called Last of a Dying Breed, the 9th album since Lynyrd Skynyrd reformed after that long 10-year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
You could take that title in a number of different ways. What did you guys mean by it?
Actually, we meant that bands like us, and especially Southern bands, and there's not as many, or there's not any really left around, starting up, playing, and going through the club circuit and how we did it in the old days. There wasn't the internet or much TV. Nobody was on TV. And so it was all going around playing clubs and meeting the people face to face. And it was a different time. And we were a different breed of person than today.
Well, but ain't dead yet. The Allman Brothers are still out there. Yeah. ZZ Top has
a Southern saying, you know.
Right, right. So what defines that Lynyrd Skynyrd? What is that breed? Is it more, Ricky, than just, you know, you started in a club and you played a long time? Is there a sound? Is there an attitude to the?
I think one of the things that really is the thing about Lynyrd Skynyrd is, first of all, you had an incredible songwriting team. You had Ronnie Van Zant, mm-hmm. and who to me was a poet. I mean, way ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. He had a way of putting things into words that people could relate to. And then, you know, you had two guitarists, you know, with Gary and Alan, who, you know, were just, all three of them together was just magical. I mean, it had a magic to it. And all this stuff, really, to be honest with you, it was all kind of like a blues influence, a blues rock. And like for all of us, we got into this whole British invasion thing that happened to come around. The Beatles were just huge fans of the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you had the Hendrix come along and the Cream and, you know, Jeff Beck and Led Zeppelin. I mean, all these bands came around. You could hear the blues influence on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've always thought, for me personally, that Lynyrd Skynyrd was a culmination of a lot of different things. It was blues, it was rock, it was country-ish, mm-hmm. it was kind of pop a little bit. It was like an all-round, you know, kind of music.
Yeah. Now, Gary, to come back to the first thing you said, basically, you know, being the last of a dying breed, that there isn't this kind of, not so much of this out there anymore. What about, you know, some of the blues-based bands like the Black Keys, Jack White?
I love
White
them guys,
and,
yeah.
You know?
Well, they are, but they're not the kind of bands we were, where there's a bunch of guys playing and having to get your parts tight and listen to what the other guy was playing and playing to that, play something off of that instead of the same thing. Nowadays, I think in the studio for guitar players, there's not very many solos, and the guitars are more really solid and strong, like the Foo Fighters or something, really strong, but they're not playing different things off of each other.
So the era of the guitar solo seems to have waned a bit.
Unless you're Jeff Beck or Lynyrd Skynyrd or people that play guitars.
Right.
A lot of groups nowadays, they don't really have a lead guitar.
Yeah.
It's more of other things or just the singer.
The texture. And,
mostly it's the singing, you know. Yeah. And
I mean, it's kind of funny. I don't want this to sound really, you know, weird or anything or egotistical, but with Gary and I and Mark, our the guitar player, I mean, you got three different guitar players with three different styles, mm-hmm. you know, but when you put it together, it forms like this wall, this beautiful wall to it.
Well, it forms Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
And we're talking with two of the members, two of the guitarists, Gary Rossington, Ricky Medlock, with us in the Soundcheck studio. Here's the title track from their most recent album, called Last of a Dying Breed.
Got a pocket full of memories and a song. Gotta keep on moving and rolling on. When I play for keeps, I always win. Don't know where I'm going, but I know I've been. Yeah. Looking back when I was a boy, hand-me-down bike was my toy. A barefoot brother who gave me hell. Learned from the best and taught me well.
Last of a Dying Breed, the title track of the latest album from the band Lynyrd Skynyrd, which, as I mentioned earlier, the ninth album since the band reformed after a 10-year hiatus. After the plane crash, Gary, in 77, you and Alan Collins, had the Rossington Collins right. band for a brief period.
Right.
So, I mean, you guys had sort of picked up the pieces and were moving on. And
well, after, you know, about 2 or 3 years, it took that long to heal up from the injuries and the mind and the right. heartbreak.
Now, you broke, like, all four limbs.
Yeah, everything, almost. Lots of broken bones and operations and stuff, and same with Alan and some of the other guys. And then the Rossington Collins band, we just wanted to get back together. It was killing us not to play, even though we were still kind of freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to be compared to Lynyrd Skynyrd right off the bat, because nobody wanted to. It didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So we got a female vocalist. We thought that would change everything. And which it did, you know, it made us have our own sound instead of Skynyrd with another singer. So anyway, we did that for a while, and then there was a lot of personal problems, and Alan Collins' wife died, and she was pregnant, and it was a really bummer thing, and we weren't very healthy then. We were drinking and stuff from the plane crash and everything, and pill popping because of injuries. They kind of get you hooked. That was before Elvis died, and drugs weren't such a big disgrace thing, and you could, you know, doctors would give them to you, and that's right. what you took. And you'd get hooked, you know. It wasn't our fault. But anyway, that happened and all the personal things, so we broke up. But to get the band back together, we just did a tribute tour with Johnny, Ronnie's younger brother, Van Zandt, and to pay respect after the 10-year hiatus, whatever you call it. And it actually, it never stopped. Everybody likes it, and the people and the crowds and the promoters, so we thought, why quit? And because this is what we do, you know, that's all we know.
Wasn't there, I mean, hadn't there been rumors that Ronnie Van Zandt eventually wanted to have his younger brother Johnny take over the vocal duties in the band anyway?
He always made me and Alan promise if something happened to him, we'd send Johnny to Juilliard here, you know.
Right.
And we'd say, oh, yeah, he'd be, you know. But he wanted him because he could sing, and he was singing in his first band, I forget the name of him, but, and so he was real proud of his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thinking he'd start writing for us and managing us and let Johnny sing the rock and roll. But
right.
It never turned that way.
Well, until obviously 10 years after the plane crash, and now Johnny Van Zandt taking his older brother's place in the band. The band, of course, is Lynyrd Skynyrd. Now, Ricky, Gary here is the only surviving member of the original lineup of the band.
Oh, the founding members, yeah.
But you are not far behind at all. I mean, you go way back with this band.
Actually, really funny, my first gig with these guys was I was their light man for a couple of nights. But, you know, I guess I failed at that, so I, you know, left. But I came into the band. It was really cool because I came into the band because I had gotten really dissatisfied and disheartened with my own thing. And I happened to get a hold of Alan Collins, and Alan told me to call Ronnie. And so I called Ronnie, and Ronnie asked me, he says, do you still play drums? Because I had been a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie says, well, we're going into the studio here soon, and we need a drummer. And I said, well, count me in.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold off some equipment. They sent me a plane ticket. I flew down to Jacksonville, and that same day, that night, we were sitting in rehearsal working up material that would later become classic rock songs and later become the first Muscle Shoals sessions that we did.
Right. Now, there's a song from those complete Muscle Shoals sessions called White Dove.
Yeah.
Now, that's you're not behind the drum kit here. This is you singing and
drums too there.
And playing
guitar
too,
right? I played drums on all those sessions, and I came out, I had a big influence at the time from Neil Young. I was really into Neil Young, and when I joined the band, I'd written a couple of songs and brought to the band, actually. I'd brought White Dove and The Seasons,
mm-hmm.
A song called Wino, and another song called Preacher's Daughter. And what was so funny was I was really kind of intimidated singing those two songs, those two acoustic tunes in front of the guys because, you know, we were concentrating on being a rock band and everything. So finally I kind of dropped my whole, you know, inhibitions and I played it for Ronnie and Gary and Alan and they loved it. I was like, you gotta be kidding me, you know? And so we ended up recording them on the sessions. Gary, he's playing lead on the Seasons and White Dove. And man, it was just a pleasure for me to be able to have two songs that I was actually singing that Ronnie was singing on a record, you know? I mean, it was like, wow, I get to do this, you know?
You certainly did, and this is what it sounded like. This is Lynyrd Skynyrd's White Dove going back to those Muscle Shoals sessions in Alabama in the early 70s.
White Dove sitting on a blackberry bush, is there any questioning why? Tell me what heaven you're bound for today. Feel just like I. Feel just like I could cry.
A little bit of White Dove, early years of the band Lynyrd Skynyrd, and featuring my guest Ricky Medlock, who wrote and sang the song, and Gary Rossington, who is an original member of the band on lead guitar on that song. They're both with me here in the Soundcheck studio. Ricky mentioned the kind of Neil Young influence and stuff. And, of course, people will think Sweet Home Alabama, you know, there you guys are. So, what does Neil Young know?
Well, yeah, like I was just saying to you, we loved Neil Young and his writing and singing and all back then. He was one of our favorite people, especially with Buffalo Springfield. And that's kind of where we got the idea for three guitars then from them because that was one of our favorite groups. So Alabama was just kind of a smart-ass thing for Ronnie to say, hey, quit cutting down the South because the song Alabama and Southern Man.
So was it like these rap battles of the 90s and stuff where, you know, it's kind of like there's a little wink on either side?
But we loved Neil Young, and everybody always thought it was against him.
Right.
And the boo-boo-boo part was just for what he was saying about the Southern Man, you know, because he didn't know him. He was from Canada.
Speaking with two of the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd, Gary Rossington, Ricky Medlock, the latest album is called Last of a Dying Breed, came out in August of 2012. And for the most part, Gary, it has a kind of classic Lynyrd Skynyrd sound. There is a song called Homegrown, though, which has like these little moments of, you know, that sound a little different, maybe a little modern.
Yeah, we try to modern it up a little. We got a producer, too. Bob Marlette, he did a lot of heavy tunes with Ozzy and a lot of heavy
Ozzy
metal.
Osbourne,
a lot of heavy metal bands and Rob Zombie and people like this. And John Fives, the guitar player from out there in L.A., he's so great. We wrote some songs with him, but that's where that song or the sound kind of came from. We're still growing, too, and we can't, you know, if you're a songwriter, that doesn't stop no matter what. You can write little stupid songs at home or it just comes up. Everybody, all of us, are always driving around or just going, oh, man, I saw this. This would be a great song, you know. We went to the studio with all the guys that was on the album played. We went in as a band and sat around and rehearsed the song and then cut it. And then we just overdubbed a few lead solos and the vocals.
Huh.
But Johnny sang them all right there when we did it.
That's even kind of a dying art, a lost thing right now.
Having a full band in the studio at once. Yeah.
In fact, when we were talking about it, we were in the studio and somebody said, wow, man, this is kind of last of a dying breed doing this.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody actually gets in the studio, not a lot of people, shouldn't say nobody, but not a lot of people get in there all at one time and throw the songs down and then go back and fix up little mistakes here and there, and there's your track.
You put a drum track and then build it,
Right, right.
And that's, you know, to me, that's the best way you get the camaraderie and the magic of the moment out of the song, you know, doing it like that.
Well, let's hear a little bit from this track called Homegrown. Again, a little more of a modern sound from the veteran band Lynyrd Skynyrd.
She's like fashion out of a steel mine. She ain't afraid to get dirty, have a good time. She's kind of backwards. She's kind of psycho. She likes to ride fast on a motorcycle. No, I can't forget how she tastes on my lips. She's as good as it gets. I like a little bit of homegrown. She gets me stoned. Oh, in a short dress, yeah, I'm a mess. I like to get around.
A little homegrown from Lynyrd Skynyrd, the album called Last of a Dying Breed. We're speaking with the guitarists Gary Rossington and Ricky Medlock of the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. Well, now, last year was the 35th anniversary of the crash that took the life of three of the members of the band. There is a happier anniversary coming up this year, right?
Oh, 40th
anniversary of the first Lynyrd Skynyrd record.
Yeah, that pronounced. I mean, that's funny. It just seems like a few years ago, you know, when you, for me to look back on it, it's really crazy. We were talking about on the way over, the Twist and Chubby Checker's version was number one 51 years ago, and it was the other day I saw it on the news. I thought, God, I remember that, you know. And 51 years is just unbelievable. I could twist back then, too.
So what is the plan for the 40th anniversary?
Well, we're just going to tour a little bit, and we might. There's been some talk of some radio shows anyway, maybe even this studio here, but we were thinking about it, and we did it one time in Washington, D.C. in a studio. We went in and did all the songs on Pronounce, even the ones we never do live or have never done before, except for one Made in the Shade song. That was it. The rest we did. And so we'll probably do that again maybe in a few radio places and record it. Actually, it's this year, I guess, that it's 40.
It's this year. Yeah. It's 2013, yeah.
So I don't know the exact date. I got to look back and look at the...
Well, you know how anniversaries go. It's the whole
year. Yeah, the whole year.
Train roll on down the line. Won't you please take me far away? Now feel the wind blow.
Well, that first album called Pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, it really is a classic. As Ricky said before, you had a great songwriting team. And the actual date, I'm being told, is August 13th.
All right, thank you.
How did you know that? Oh, you... your little smartphone. So let's just go quickly through a couple of other things I wanted to get to. The album Gods and Guns, which is the previous album to Last of a Dying Breed, that seemed like an album that was really kind of geared to fire people up, get people sort of energized politically and stuff. You've said, Gary, that title, God and Guns, is mainly about freedom, not necessarily about, you know, gun
control. Well,
you
have to hear the song, yeah, but it is about guns and God because that's what the country was founded on, you know, and... So, if you read all the old history about it, okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, what I wanted to ask was whether your sort of feelings about guns and gun control have changed at all in the past few months.
Well, I know since the terrible shootings and stuff, it's a big issue. I just think, you know, we have the right to arms because of the Constitution, and if somebody breaks in your house, like this lady, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. The other day, some guy broke in her house, and she took her kids to the crawl space and hid out with a gun. He found them, and she shot him 6 times. He still didn't die. He got to drive away, and then he finally got so hurt he couldn't drive anymore. But, see, that's just a woman with kids alone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She needed that, and I don't know. It's a big issue.
But. I'm an avid gun owner. And I'm.
Are you a hunter?
I'm not a hunter. I own them, and they're in my house. Assault weapons to me, to be quite frank, my brother and I were talking about this the other day. I think what has happened is those guns were only designed for one thing. They were not designed for hunting. They weren't designed for anything else but what they're designed for.
Which
and
is warfare.
That was for killing the military,
men, yeah.
Right.
For the military and for flat-out killing. I think that in my own judgment, and this is just my opinion, and I know Nugent might call me up later on and beat me up over it, but that's okay.
This is Ted Nugent.
I got
huh?
some things to beat him up over, too.
Yeah.
So the deal is, I think for people to own those, in my own opinion, is it's kind of ridiculous, yeah. You know? So all I'm saying is that it with the Constitution and the amendment, the Second Amendment, that is our right to have that. That is our right to protect ourselves. And I myself, mm-hmm. I mean, I do, I'll be honest with you, I do have one. And I bought it years ago, and it never comes out of the hard shell case that is locked, and you would play hell trying to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like a somewhat more nuanced version of,
yeah,
you know,
well, we're
where
like
we...
like a lot of people.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Nobody needs those assault
right,
weapons. So
right.
They scare me. I don't like them, but...
We sort of prefer to see you guys wielding your guitars, which you do.
I would rather wield one.
Gary Rossington and Ricky Medlock, guitarists in the legendary Southern rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd. Their most recent album's called Last of a Dying Breed. Gary, have you ever been at somebody else's concert where there's been that momentary pause before the encore and someone has yelled out, Freebird!
Yeah, a couple times. It's kind of embarrassing if you're with the band that's playing, but no, it's a great honor, and it's great that people do that, and they still do it. It's funny. I hear it not just at concerts, but at movies or
right,
anywhere
right,
there's
yeah.
a crowd. So, you know,
anywhere
just,
there's that momentary lull in a,
Freebird!
In a Freebird!
Yeah. It's funny, but it's a great thing.
To watch the effect that it has on people is probably the most... You know, the most, like, I guess, self-satisfying thing yes. in my life to watch people, how they
you
get
know,
so excited
I'll
over it.
I feel bad, you know? So bad about, we never get to talk about this, for Ronnie and Alan and Steve to
yeah.
see the people now. Because back when we wrote these songs and were doing them, they weren't classic yet. They were new. And people, you know,
they
you
became
didn't hear,
pretty classic
yeah,
pretty
but
quick.
You didn't hear Freebird
yeah,
back then.
Yeah.
But now, and to see the effect, I'll look down. People always, like you, are say, don't you get tired of playing Freebird or Alabama or so? And I go, no, man, you should see the crowd. Mm-hmm. It's just great. It makes you feel like it's brand new every time we play it.
That's a great place to leave it. Gary Rossington, Ricky Medlock from the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. Guys, this has been a lot of fun.
Hey,
thank you. Thank you, man.
This is Soundcheck.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? For I must be traveling. Stay with you, girl.
Still to come, new music from Nightlands, a project from bassist Dave Hartley. He's a member of the band The War on Drugs. And a little more music from Jose James, just because we're feeling generous and because it sounded so good. That's next on Soundcheck. Every week, our Check Ahead feature gives you a sneak peek at new music that you can't hear anywhere else. We stream an entire album before its release date on our website, soundcheck.org, mostly so you can brag to your friends that you heard the newest album from so-and-so before they did. This week, we've actually got two Check Aheads up on our site, one from the high-energy Bhangra Meets New Orleans brass band, Red Barat. They were on our show recently. And the other is from this project known as Nightlands. It's the work of multi-instrumentalist Dave Hartley. He plays bass in the Philadelphia band The War on Drugs. His latest album is called Oak Island. And as our digital producer Mike Katz have put it, its sound, quote, sits comfortably between ambient folk, 1970s AM radio, glittery synth pop, and a breezy, almost tropical feel, unquote. Let's take a listen. This is called So Far, So Long.
So far.
That's just a snippet from this week's Check Ahead of the new album from Nightlands. Visit soundcheck.org to stream the entire album until next Tuesday. And while you're there, you might want to check out our video webcast from Jose James, who we heard earlier in the show. And that's where we'll leave you today with another song that he and his band played for us. But before we let you go, two quick things. One, follow us on Twitter. Just the right thing to do. Go to twitter.com/soundcheck and you'll find us. And two, set your alarm, or whatever your smartphone does, for our show tomorrow night at 9. Singer-songwriter Erin McKeown's going to be here talking politics, crazy dreams, and sports. And in case you aren't aware of it, I love to talk about sports. And of course, the Super Bowl's coming up, so it's going to be great. Don't miss it. Tomorrow night at 9 on Soundcheck. Okay, Jose James, it's all you. Here is Jose and his band with the song, Do You Feel?
Do you feel what I feel? Do you know what I know? Do you see what I see? And wanna go where I wanna go, and you know I'm feeling, yeah.
like a long time I waited for someone divine, and maybe it's you. Say it's only some have a feeling been such a long time that I want to believe it, and you know I'm feeling it. Like a long time waiting for someone divine, and maybe it's you. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. And I know when you're giving your love. Joy that's all around your soul, forever and a day. Do you feel what I feel? Do you know what I know? Do you see what I see? Wanna go where I wanna go, when you know I'm feeling, hey, like a long time waiting for someone divine, and maybe it's you, hey, 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 hey. Oh,
That does it for today's show. See you back here at 9 tomorrow. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.